in the heart of flyover country, this is Spin Sold Separately.
So now I've got people telling me that Trump's big bad plan is he's going to cut all the veteran benefits. Well, that would make a lot of sense considering among the first people he nominated to any kind of cabinet post is Tulsi Gabbard, who's a current member of the military. I'd have a hard time believing she'd sign on to that. What did I say on the last show, or maybe it was a couple ago now, that a lot of what's going on in the world can be answered by just asking yourself the question, what sense would that make? Is there any logical reason that Tulsi Gabbard would sign up with an administration that would do such a thing? Does that make any logical sense? Anyway, how you doing, everybody? Welcome back to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. Hope you're all having a great weekend. I just watched my Minnesota Vikings struggle with the Tennessee Titans while the Detroit Lions continue to steamroll every single team they play every week. Now, granted, this was Jacksonville with a backup quarterback even, but the Vikings just played that same Jacksonville team last week without their starting quarterback, and I think they won 12-7. Detroit won 52-6, or at least that was the last score I saw. Anyway, such is the life of a Viking fan. First things first, I gotta clean up a couple things here.
Clean up on aisle 5, please. Clean up on aisle 5.
Just a couple of housekeeping issues from some recent episodes. I do go back and listen to them because I am my own worst critic. I need to go back and critique myself and see what works and what doesn't. But every once in a while, I stumble across something that I goofed up, and that's always going to be something that I fix. I am not here to mislead anyone. I have said that many times before. And anytime I make a mistake, I'm going to come clean and clean it up. So here's a few. Thankfully, it's not any major details, but just a couple things I want to clean up. I mentioned when I was lamenting about Tim Walz getting reelected and absolutely hammering the throttle and just going 90 miles an hour into his second term, passing a bunch of very, very left-wing stuff. I said that there were cannabis stores all over Minnesota. Shows my level of understanding of the legal slash illegal drug market. They are CBD stores. The cannabis stores will be coming to a neighborhood near you if you live in Minnesota next year. So my mistake on that. They are CBD stores, but yes, the smell is still everywhere. That was accurate. Also, when I was lamenting the state of our Defense Department, I mistakenly used the name Anthony Blinken. When talking about the Secretary of Defense, Anthony Blinken is the Secretary of State. And while he has been every bit the empty suit that the current Secretary of Defense is, he is not the Secretary of Defense. Lloyd Austin is the Secretary of Defense. Both have done equally horrendous jobs defending this country. And now we've got all kinds of people here that hate us. And sadly, I think it's only a matter of time until we are attacked from within by some kind of terrorist strike. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what we have allowed to come here. In addition to many families seeking better lives, we have also allowed in many people that seek to do us harm. I just hope this next administration can foil any heretofore unacted upon plans before people start getting hurt. Well, people already have started getting hurt, but I'm hoping we can put an end to that right now. So that was a mistake there. As far as Election Day, I mentioned that California might start planning for like every Election Day from here on out, since it's always the first Tuesday in November. Well, that's not necessarily true. After doing a little digging, I learned that it is the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. So it can range only from November 2nd to November 8th. It is never November 1st. Because by definition, you'd have to have a Monday before Election Day. So, slight correction on the details there. And then when I was talking about Marco Rubio saying that the clip I heard of him espousing the exact Middle East policy I would like to hear from a Secretary of State, and then following that up with a take on Ukraine. That was actually a clip from back in late 2023, actually shortly after the October 7th attacks on Israel. But I just hadn't heard it yet, so I assumed that it had just happened, and since his name was in the news for, at the time, possible Secretary of State nomination, now official, I just hadn't heard it yet, but apparently that was a soundbite from back in late 2023. So, there's your...
Clean up on aisle five, please. Clean up on aisle five.
And hopefully we will not have any such messes in the future, but hey, people make mistakes, but I'm here to own them all, so... Happy to clean up my own mess. Got a few updates here on just some things we've talked about leading up to this point. Trump's victory now sits at 50-48. It was 51-47. And then California, you know, by about 2,000-3,000 votes a day, was finally starting to finish up their vote count. So that popular vote gap has narrowed from about 4 million to about 2.7. So the actual percentage... Trump still wins, or is winning, the popular vote 50-48. At last check, California is now sitting at 93% reporting 12 days post-election. Completely unacceptable. We, the people, must demand better. This is absolutely outrageous that our most populous state is still counting votes almost 2 weeks later. Unacceptable. The Senate, as I told you, has been decided 53-47. There is something going on in Pennsylvania, however. Incumbent Democrat Senator Bob Casey is refusing to concede to David McCormick, his Republican challenger. He trails by 17,000 votes, does Casey, and this race has long since been called. But a statewide recount has been ordered, as that gap has continued to narrow as... some provisional and absentee ballots have been counted. Now, there's a big dispute going on about this, and I want to give you both sides of the story here. Obviously, I don't live in Pennsylvania. I am not deeply involved in this. I have a few people that I trust when it comes to stories like this, and I have not heard anything from them yet. I'm hoping that early in this next week, I can maybe get a little more definitive information on this. But the bottom line is the Casey campaign is being accused of counting or seeking to count illegal ballots. Now, the Casey campaign denies this, of course, saying it isn't trying to count any illegal votes or those made by people that aren't registered. But what they are dealing with is the provisional ballots, which are ballots that are set aside at election time to be verified. For whatever reason, they aren't able to be accepted right away. Maybe it's somebody whose registration isn't showing up, or their name didn't appear on the roll, or, you know, any number of legitimate things can cause a ballot to be put into the provisional group, which are then set aside at the time of the election to be verified. They each need to be individually verified. And once verified, they are only counted if necessary, if a race is close enough where the total amount of provisional ballots would actually make up whatever difference there is if all of them went in one direction. So that is what is being dealt with in Pennsylvania right now. Of course, the GOP disagrees, and they're claiming that Casey is trying to steal it. I have read statements from both sides, and like I said, I honestly cannot give you a definitive assessment. I want every legal vote to be counted. The Republican side is claiming that Casey is seeking to count illegal votes, i.e., for example, votes that are cast by people who are not registered. And the Casey campaign denies that and said they just want every legal vote counted and they are not seeking to count any illegal vote. But either way, statewide recount is going to take place. That will take several days. I have not heard any reputable reporting on any possibility of that race being flipped as a result of the recount. Again, the current margin sits at about 17,000 votes. So... my advice on this is trust the process, trust the courts if necessary, if they have to get involved, and we're just going to have to see how it plays out. This is where the right, you know, in this case specifically, I've seen a couple of posts from Elon Musk about the Democrats trying to count illegal votes. And this is where, you know, the right and Elon, they're not doing themselves any favors by using words like illegal or non-citizens. We just have to let it play out. The courts will determine that. It just gives fodder to the opposition. When you use words like that and you can't prove it yet, it just gives fodder to your opposition that you're seeking to disenfranchise voters, and voters don't like that. Voters want to know that even if their candidate loses, their vote was counted, and illegal votes were not. So that is my recommendation. Just let it play out, see what happens. I would be very, very surprised if even after the recount and all of this dispute is settled, that this race would flip. And then as far as the House goes, 6 races are still to be determined. Again, 12 days later, come on, people. Even if they'd had to recount, I mean, you're not counting statewide ballots in a House race. It's just your district. Get it done, people. Anyway, the Republicans lead 218 to 212 in races that have been decided, and it is 218 for the majority. So the Republicans have the majority. We just have to wait and see how big that majority is going to be. It's probably going to be almost identical, if not identical, to the 4 that they had the last 2 years. I have a few more thoughts on our friend Dr. Arlene, who I graced your ears with on my last show. Yeah, she was the smug, baselessly elitist political analyst that was getting off on insulting the clerk at the liquor store where she was buying her celebratory champagne she never got to use. I want to ask, she says she's a retired professor. What kind of professor or anyone who claims to know anything about politics would ever say to an American citizen that their vote was wasted? That was the word she used. You realize you wasted your vote, right? Who says that? Who ever says that somebody that took the time to vote, and this person actually took the time to early vote. I mean, he really wanted his voice heard, and he went, this clerk, and cast his vote early, she assumes, for Trump. Who talks like that? Especially someone who claims to be in the business of politics. I mean, okay, let's follow that line of thinking. Did every Democrat in Alabama, a state that Trump won by 30 points, did they waste their vote? Did she even bother asking what his House vote was? Maybe that one won, or his senator, or a judge, or whatever other elected office, or perhaps a ballot initiative. So did every Democrat in Alabama waste their vote, Dr. Arlene? What about every Republican in Massachusetts, a state that Harris won by 25 points? Did they all waste their vote? What about every American that voted Libertarian or Green Party in every single election nationwide? Did they waste their votes? They exercised their constitutional right and their civic duty, a right that hundreds of thousands of people have died for over the last almost 250 years, and a right that millions of people would kill to be able to exercise themselves. Shame on this woman! Calls herself a professor or an analyst or a political, quote, expert. Shame on that woman. Shame on Dr. Arlene for even uttering that phrase. No one in the history of this country or any democratic process has ever wasted their vote, whether their preferred choice or candidate wins or not. And I resent even the implication to the contrary. And she's just the latest example. If I never hear of that woman again, it would be too soon. The disgusting human being. Anyway, we have a few more Trump appointees. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was nominated for the Department of Health and Human Services. I wasn't sure this would happen. I didn't know if Trump would go that far as to nominate him for, I mean, the highest health post in the land. I thought maybe he'd work a little more behind the scenes, maybe in a position that doesn't need to be confirmed by the Senate. But I'm glad he did it. I'm glad he did it. And of course, the predictable freakout from the left has ensued by completely misrepresenting his positions. For example, he doesn't want to ban vaccines. God, these people make me sick. He doesn't want to ban vaccines. He wants clear information on the pros and the cons made readily available to the public before they are all but obligated to take a vaccine themselves or to vaccinate their children at the time of birth or 6 months or, I mean, there's several vaccine regimens that are out there. He just wants people to have the information, and he wants vaccine testing results to be easy to understand and readily available. That is his stance on vaccines. There are clips out there of him saying exactly that himself, not that the left or the MSNBCs of the world care what he actually said. It's much more important to them what they're saying he said. And that's what you're supposed to believe. You're supposed to believe MSNBC when they say he wants to ban all vaccines, when there is video proof of him saying exactly the opposite as recently as last month. Yes, he has some unorthodox views that scare some people on both sides of the aisle, but let's consider this. The U.S. ranks 42nd in the world in life expectancy. 42nd. We have the highest healthcare cost as a percentage of GDP in the world, yet we're 42nd in life expectancy. As of 2022, on a per capita basis, the United States spent $12,555 on healthcare per person, by far the biggest number in the world, organized or otherwise. Second was Switzerland at $8,049 per capita. The U.S. was over 50% higher than that. Now, some of that has to do with what our healthcare industry is paid, top to bottom, from physicians to nurse practitioners, I mean, everybody. And of course, the pharmaceutical costs, which are astronomical. And just because a lot of them are being paid for by the government right now, doesn't mean you're not paying for them. You're just paying for them in a different way. They're still getting paid for. So there's one point. And then consider this. A recent study found that 75% of American adults are overweight or obese. 75%, leading to a far higher rate of chronic diseases than that of most other Western countries. 42% of American adults are obese. In this case, obese being defined as a body mass index at or above 30. That's the 13th highest rate in the world. For comparison, Japan is just below 5%. We are at 42. Japan is just below 5. China, 8. France, just below 11, just for comparison purposes. We're at 42. We're fatter, sicker, and more depressed than we've ever been by almost every measurable statistic. Autism rates are spiking, and no one knows why. Is it the vaccines? Well, I'd say it's possible. The data to this point is very inconclusive, but something is causing it. And no, it isn't just we know more about it, so it's being diagnosed more often. Something is causing it, yet efforts to pinpoint that cause, I would say, are lethargic at best. So why not try a different approach? Why just maintain the status quo as we continue to get fatter and sicker and lag further behind other developed nations in health outcomes and life expectancy? We have the medical capability. We have the facilities, the expertise. Why are we so sick? Why are we lagging so far behind other developed countries? And in some cases, some countries nowhere near as developed as we are in life expectancy. And don't blame it on McDonald's. There's McDonald's in every country. Why is it? Wouldn't you like the unnecessary toxins and poisons and dyes removed from our foods and from our diets? I mean, why wouldn't we want that? Fruit Loops exist in Europe, where a lot of the colors and additives in our version are banned. Why wouldn't we want the better version? Why wouldn't we want the less toxic, less poisonous version? It could lead to vastly improved quality of life, less pain, less inflammation, less chronic disease, like diabetes. Wouldn't it be a better country with less diabetes? I mean, seriously, what's the worst that could happen? It's completely ineffective. Like, everything he's suggesting makes absolutely no difference, even if we do it, and it's completely ineffective, and we try a different approach in 4 years when there's a new president. I think it's worth a try. I mean, what we're doing, what we're doing clearly is not working. And on top of all that, we need more transparency. It's clear the FDA, in collusion with other federal agencies, has not had our best interests at heart. We need more transparency. We need to restore trust and faith in our federal institutions, this being one of them. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum has been nominated as Secretary of the Interior. A very appropriate post. I mean, Burgum and Trump are pretty big fans of each other. Burgum, as the governor of North Dakota, manages a lot of protected land. Very successful businessman, very successful and popular governor. He actually ran for president in the primaries on the Republican side this last cycle. And he was on the short list for vice president for Donald Trump. So not a surprise to see him get a post there. Trump has also named his press secretary someone I am not familiar with. Her name is Caroline Leavitt. She is only 27, believed to be the youngest ever to be appointed to that position. She was an assistant press secretary in the first Trump administration, and since then has been communications director for Elise Stefanik, who we mentioned in the last show. She will be the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Leavitt ran unsuccessfully for a House seat in 2022 in her home state of New Hampshire. Trump said in a statement that she is a smart, tough, highly effective communicator, and I have no reason to believe otherwise. She will have her hands full in that press room going up there to bat for Donald Trump. If you remember anything about what happened last time around, hope she's ready. She sounds tough. She's being described as tough. You go in there confident, no nonsense, with facts on your side, she'll do just fine. Looking forward to it. There's many other names out there with which I am not familiar. We'll learn more about them together as time goes on. If anything comes up that I think you guys would be interested in, I will certainly share it here. But these Trump appointments, correct me if I'm wrong, but they are incredibly Democratic for a Republican administration. I mean, Trump, even himself, was a Democrat not all that long ago. Tulsi, RFKJ, Elon. I mean, these Tulsi, like I said, just ran for president in 2020 as a Democrat. RFKJ was ready to run for president in 2024 as a Democrat. Elon voted for Obama twice, voted for Biden in 2020. I mean, as an independent, I'm going to look at the left side of the aisle here and say, Democrats, you need to embrace this. This is a unique chance to bridge this divide. This is not a bunch of kooky right-wingers that are going to be taking over in January here. There is a lot of cross-aisle representation here. We should all cheer this on. I mean, lots of our government departments are in disarray. Education, defense, state, health, which we just talked about, Homeland Security. This entire group I just mentioned, they're all former Democrats, including Trump himself. Let's take advantage of this opportunity to bridge this divide. Again, what's the worst thing that can happen? It doesn't work out, and in 4 years, we try again with a whole new cast of characters. Just this immediate knee-jerk resistance by the Democrats to say, no, 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 no. They're all horrible. They're all terrible. They're all the worst people ever. Even though most of these people that have been nominated thus far are at the very least left of center in most of their thinking, and at least will balance out the names that have been nominated that are far more on the right. But there is a lot of small d Democratic representation here, and a lot of capital D Democratic representation here. I mean, Tulsi, RFK, Elon, they're obviously not claiming themselves to be Democrats at the moment, but they were not that long ago. It's not like they completely changed overnight. A lot of their values remain the same. So I would love to see the Democrats embrace this, heaven forbid, cheer it on, and hope that this mixed group of people that are very recently of the left and some people that are of the right can actually come together and really get some productive things done for this country. I'd like that to happen for all of our benefit. And real quick, an update on the FEMA story that I said we would be following like a hawk. This was where the directive down in Florida was to skip Trump houses. A little more information came out on this, and I'm going to play you a video here of the supervisor that has been fired. She actually went on Fox and gave a pretty, I thought, compelling interview where she didn't hold back. She spoke her mind. Didn't seem all that apologetic about it. But the way she described it, I thought, was worth a listen for you, because it's not quite as it was described, but it's still not great. But apparently the directive was to treat Trump homes the same as homes with, quote, aggressive dogs. Apparently, there had been a couple of uncomfortable confrontations in that area, or during this recovery effort in Florida and Georgia and North Carolina specifically, where some FEMA employees had uncomfortable encounters with some Trump supporters. You know, obviously, they either came out as Trump supporters or they had the signs in their yard. What, you know, the details she didn't really get into, but The directive was that if people felt, quote, uncomfortable, then they were permitted to skip that house in the interest of avoiding confrontations. Again, there were, you know, one or two very, very less than ideal encounters with Trump homes, quote unquote, which no one I have heard confirmed yet with any hard evidence. This is anecdotal at this point, but even if that was the case, aggressive dogs, that's the category we're going to lump homes with Trump signs in the yard with. I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with this whole thing. And like I said, this was admitted to by the fired FEMA supervisor. Her name is Marnie Washington. And I am going to play you the video, not of the entire interview, but it is a little over 2 minutes, but I think it's worth listening to because she lays out in rather surprising detail how this came to be, and she doesn't deny it at all, but she explains it as well as she can, and I think it's worth a listen. So here it is. Again, her name is Marnie Washington. This is the fired FEMA supervisor that was on the ground in Florida in this whole avoiding Trump houses scandal.
But if someone is in another, like an urban community, and it's a different culture and someone feels uncomfortable, we can't go to that home. If you have loose dogs and someone on the team is comfortable with dogs and another person is not, we can't go to that home because of safety precautions.
So you feared the Trump houses. The people on FEMA were fearing the Trump houses like they were fearing people with vicious dogs in their backyard.
Exactly. And that's based on the trends. You can ask FEMA for incident reports. They have those because they ask us to report out if there's an incident at home. And unfortunately, again, the passionate supporters for Trump, some of them were a little bit violent.
But all of them were painted with the same broad brush. All of them as being, we're not going to go near these because we think they're all bad people.
No, because some were registered. Some did receive case inquiries and updates.
Yeah.
Some of them came outside and said, hi, I appreciate what you're doing. I would like to participate. And then some were very vocal and firm that they didn't want anything to do with FEMA, and they thought that we were crooks.
And lastly, we've got to go. We're running out of time here. Did this also happen in other places? This was Florida, but did it happen in North Carolina? Did it happen in other places?
Georgia as well. Just ask the crew leads and the specialists. They will discuss their avoidance and their de-escalation methods in the field. Okay. And I think Ms. Criswell would be happy to know what's going on.
Sorry, that was the shorter clip, about a minute 35. This woman, who has been fired, is claiming that there were enough uncomfortable encounters with Trump voters that this directive came down that if you are uncomfortable, just as if you would be if there were aggressive dogs loose in a yard, you don't have to go there. What do you make of that? I mean, she admits that this happened, says it was Trump voter behavior that led to this. You know, I certainly would like to hear specific stories. You know, I don't take anything at face value anymore. I need specific stories. And she said that there are FEMA incident reports, and I hope that those come to light, because I would be very interested to hear the sequence of events that led to this. If this was standard procedure, which she is making it sound like it was, why'd she get fired? She made this sound like this was very, very standard operating procedure. A couple of bad encounters with Trump voters led to some discomfort amongst the ranks, and a directive came down that said, hey, if you're uncomfortable because of this and that, and these recent encounters, you don't have to go there, just like we wouldn't go to a home that has a loose, aggressive dog running around. So if that's standard, well, why'd she get fired then? I don't know. This whole thing is troubling, and it's just another indication of the loss of faith in institutions. You know, if there were people, if there were Trump voters specifically in these hurricane ravaged areas that were being rude and uncouth to emergency workers that were there to help, obviously that's not helpful. What are we doing that for? We'll have to see where this leads, but we have not heard the end of this by any means. Okay. Had a couple other things I wanted to mention here, but we're already, I'm still in the updates on recent topics section here, and I'm already well over. Maybe 30 minutes wasn't reasonable. I'll try to keep them under an hour. How's that work? I hope you're not sick of me to that point. I'm not going to shoot for an hour, but I mean, at this point, the evidence is overwhelming that 30 minutes is just not going to happen most days. Anyway, let's get into the exit polls. Don't worry, I'm not going to hit you with all 66 facts and figures I have here. I would not make you suffer through that because I understand that not everyone is as into that stuff as I certainly am. But there is some really, really interesting stuff in here if you haven't gotten a chance to look at it yet. So, exit polls, and this is all courtesy of NBC, which they say it's combined with many other news organizations, but I got this off of NBC's website here. Exit polls, they're not 100% accurate. You know, these are not ironclad numbers, but they do give a good indication as to how the voting public is feeling. And this is where you can get into real demographic groups, you know, who supported who and when decisions were made and what was the driving force behind people's votes. And it's very interesting stuff. So I just want to share some of these with you real quick. Trump won men, not surprisingly, 55-42. Harris won women, 53-45. 45% of women voted for Donald Trump. This is a number that the left is obviously completely incapable of wrapping their brain around. Well, because abortion. How were women not 100-0 in favor of Kamala Harris? Because abortion, right? I mean, it's all about abortion. Just ask Dr. Arlene. It's all about abortion. For comparison purposes, that is the largest percent of the female vote to go to the Republicans since George W. Bush in 2004. George W. Bush took 48% of the female vote. Donald Trump just took 45. Apparently, abortion isn't the be-all, end-all election club that the Democrats have believed it to be all this time. You know how much the left loves their demographics, so let's humor them. Trump won the white vote, 57-41. Harris won the black vote, 85-13. That is the best that Trump has done with the black vote in his three elections. It still shocks me that that gap is that big. With the state of most of these inner cities where they're at, it shocks me that that number is that margin is that wide, 85-13. And that's as close as a Republican presidential candidate has come in several years. I'm trying to bring it up here as I'm talking about it. I can't find it right now. That shocks me that that margin is so wide, given the state of our inner cities and the state of our public schools. It just does not add up to me. It just doesn't add up. Harris won the Hispanic vote 52-46. That is the highest percent of the Hispanic vote ever to go to a Republican, ever. George W. Bush got 44% of the Hispanic vote in 2004. Donald Trump just got 46. Let that simmer for a minute. One out of three minorities voted for Donald Trump. So much for the raging racist, misogynist bigot. That message is falling on completely disinterested ears because it has been so overused, so oversaturated, and it's lost its effectiveness. It's clear. 21% of black men voted for Trump. Again, the most that a Republican candidate has gotten in a very, very long time. Latino men, 55% for Trump. 55%, the majority of Latino or Hispanic men, 55% for Trump. Absolutely incredible. The young vote went to Harris. The Gen X vote went to Trump. The seniors were basically split. But some very interesting tidbits out of that. 18 to 29-year-old men, 49-47, Trump. Trump won the majority of young 18 to 29-year-old men. Completely unheard of for a Republican presidential candidate. And we will explore this this specific figure and the reasons behind it. We're going to explore a lot more in a future episode all its own. Men basically across all age groups went for Trump. Harris won the women in every age group except 45 to 64-year-olds, which Trump won 50 to 49. That's my generation, and I'm not the least bit surprised by that. College grads obviously won by Harris, 55-42. Non-college grads, 56-42 for Trump. both parties, Democrats and Republicans, went home. They almost unanimously voted for their candidate, despite all the talk of people crossing over one way or another. They all went home. Somewhat surprising, in a race that she lost, Harris took independents 49-46. That's very surprising. Normally, the candidate that wins the election, especially the popular vote, usually carries the independent vote, but apparently not in this case. Now, again, that could have something to do with nationwide, the country actually having more registered Republicans than Democrats for the first time in a long time. So that could have had something to do with that. If you're low on the income scale, under 100,000, don't take that personally. That includes me. Trump carried that group 50-46. Incomes over 100,000. Harris carried that 51-46. Here was another surprising one. Households with a labor union member, Harris won, which you would expect, Democrat, farmer, labor party and all. She only won 53-45. 45% of households that include a labor union member voted for Donald Trump. I think that just even more spotlights the relationship that Trump has with the working class, with people that build things. And that was built through all his time in New York. We discussed all that in one of the earlier shows. That really came through in the vote. On the religious end of things, Trump won Christians handily. I am shocked by this figure. Kamala Harris won the Jewish vote 78-22. I'm speechless. The way she wasn't able to simply put down all the pro-Palestine from the river to the sea protesters that kept showing up at her rallies because she wasn't pro-Palestine enough. And she kept saying, oh, you have a point and I understand and we're going to get to all that. And, you know, thank you for sharing your feelings. Meanwhile, a couple of Christians started shouting, God is great, at one of her rallies, to which she immediately quipped, oh, you're at the wrong rally. Anyway, the entire Democrat Party is showing a very consistent lack of support for Israel, almost across the board. Not entirely, but they have a lot of very, very anti-Israel voices in their caucus, not the least of which are Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. I mean, I could go on and on. The Democrats, since October 7th, 2023, have not exactly thrown their full-throated support behind Israel and the Jewish community. Yet, those who identify as Jewish voted 78-22 for Harris. I hope somebody can do a deep dive on that, because that just does not add up to me at all. And then the non-religious / atheist folks, not surprising here, 71-26 in favor of Kamala Harris. Those are not entirely, but largely people that have supplanted actual religion with politics. A wise person once said, and I will get you the person that said this. I don't know it off the top of my head. It might have been Thomas Sowell, but I could be wrong there. Said that people don't stop being religious. They just worship different gods. It's no secret that actual religious affiliation is plummeting in this country, to its detriment, I might add. People will fill that void with something. There is part of the human condition that needs to aspire to something bigger than themselves for the vast majority of people. And for a very, very long time, that soulful need was filled by a religion. Any organized religion, whatever religion you grew up with or were introduced to or, you know, migrated to. But that's becoming less and less, and more people are starting to worship either themselves or their political affiliation, neither of which are healthy. But it is not surprising to me at all that Kamala Harris and the Democrat ideals carried those that do not affiliate with any religion 71-26. I would say to them, you absolutely do subscribe to a religion. It's just not Christianity or Judaism or Muslim. A lot of them worship the god of politics, their political party, their politicians. Why do you think they get so unhinged about it? It's like a religion to some people. Maybe we'll explore that a little more in the future, too. Homes with children, Trump carries 53-44. Homes without children, 50-48, Kamala. Married, Trump, 56-43. Unmarried, Harris, 54-42. None of this is surprising. The Democrats have gone extremely anti-family, extremely pro-individual and just your truth, and Doesn't surprise me at all. How about military households? Trump carried them 65-34. 65-34 military households favored Donald Trump. Non-military, Kamala won 50-48. How about, this was another interesting one. First ever time voting. You would think that that would be a lot of 18-year-olds. Probably some legal immigrants that are now eligible to vote. You know, a couple of very democratic demographics there. Trump carried this group, the first ever time voting group, 56-43. That's shocking to me. I hope we can find out a little more on the breakdown of that. But whether it's new immigrants that are now able to vote, or in, you know, 18-year-olds or people that had just registered for the first time, for Trump to carry that group and by that wide a margin, very, very interesting to me. A couple of issue-related things here. Basically, if you feel like you're doing better off now than you were 4 years ago, you voted heavily for Harris. If you feel like you're worse off now, you voted heavily for Trump. Again, all the issues, the economy, abortion, immigration, foreign policy, those all broke down exactly as you would expect. Harris won the abortion crowd 74-25. Trump won the economy crowd 80-19. You know, what was your most important issue coming into this election? Abortion broke down a little bit further here. 65% of those responding said that abortion should be legal in most or all cases. Only 32% said it should be illegal in most or all cases. That's better than 2-1. This is why Trump went neutral on abortion. And Republicans need to take note, and pro-lifers as well. This is an issue that's never going to go away. And the pro-life crowd can stand on their morals, and I would applaud them for that. But if those results are any indication, 65-32, that it should be legal in most or all cases, you're going to paint yourself into a lot of tight corners. And we'll do a deep dive on abortion in a future episode, but that was surprising to me. I figured that legal abortion would outpoll illegal, you know, making it illegal in most or all cases. I didn't know it would be that wide of a split. Well, Trump obviously knew that it was that wide of a split, and that's why he took a neutral position on it. And that, I mean, the American people have spoken on it, that that's a 2-1 in favor of abortion in most or all cases. So that's going to have to be dealt with. Interestingly, those whose most important issue was democracy. this is interesting. The perceived threats to democracy were clearly equal across the board, whether you were a Trump voter accusing the Democrats or whether you were a Harris voter accusing the Republicans. Only 25% of respondents said that they feel democracy is secure. 73% said it was threatened. Of those 73% that said they felt democracy was threatened, Trump won that group 51-48. Oh, my goodness. You know, almost 8 years of Democrats screaming Trump and his threat to democracy into the void. Trump carried that group 51-48. Unbelievable. As far as favorability rankings go among the two main tickets, only one of the four people involved between Trump, Vance, and Harris Walz were above water in favorability. And it was J.D. Vance. 47-46. 47% favorable, 46% unfavorable. Everybody else was underwater. Trump was viewed as more extreme. What? What? Obviously, the 2019 version of Kamala Harris was kept very well under wraps. Because in no sane universe can you say that Donald Trump's policies are more extreme than the 2019 version of Kamala Harris. Those are incompatible thoughts. So, obviously, the plan to keep her radicalism from her California days hidden was very effective. 79% of respondents said that they had made their decision before September. But of those deciding in the last week, Trump won that group 50-41. The late deciders broke for Trump, and I mentioned this on the last show, and I will reiterate it here. I think the hate rhetoric that was dialed up across the board by the Democrats just before the election, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the insults, the Trump voters are stupid, the Trump voters are weak, there's no smart women that support Trump, they're garbage, they're Nazis. I think that all got through, and it brought a lot of people to the polls in the very last week there that hadn't made up their minds yet, and that group went 50-41 for Trump. And just to wrap up the festivities, you know that group that Trump has so much trouble with? It's been talked about for years, the suburban women, they all hate Trump. All the suburban women hate Trump. He's never going to win another election without suburban women. Suburban women went for Trump 53-46. We obviously know absolutely nothing. I mean, suburban women, Latino men, young men, they all went for Trump. All the Hitler, all the Nazi, all this crap. I'm so glad that so many people saw through all that. I am so glad. I wonder if any of these legacy media commentators will have the guts to admit that this was all a lie. All the Hitler crap. Trump went to the White House this week and met with Joe Biden, who I would argue is the third happiest person on earth with the outcome of the election behind Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. The smile on his face was unbelievable. The biggest smile I've seen from him in years, sitting there with Donald Trump. You know all that. We all knew all that Hitler nonsense was BS through and through. I mean, really? If Joe Biden really believed that, he's just going to sit there and peacefully transfer power to Adolf Hitler? Give me a break. We all knew it was crap. We all knew it. I just wonder, will any of these legacy media commentators have the guts to come forward and admit it, that it was all a lie? Simply meant to deceive the public and to steal the will of the voters away, to almost scare them into voting for Kamala Harris. Will anyone do it? Just one. Will anyone come forward and be straight with us and say, yeah, you know what? We just really wanted Kamala to win and nothing else was working, so that was our last gasp. Yeah, it was all BS. He's not really Hitler. Our system of government would protect from any Hitler-esque president that would ever get elected. Yeah, it was all crap. Not going to hold my breath. Meanwhile, the breaking up of families continues, and it has for years. Now they're just saying it out loud. Don't go to Thanksgiving with your family. Don't let them come over to your house. I can't think of anything more demonic. I don't care who the hell you voted for. I have people in my own family that voted for Kamala Harris. They are going to be sitting at my table right where they belong on Thanksgiving. And they're going to be here again for Christmas. And we're going to celebrate New Year's together. Because that's what families do. We don't listen to cable news commentators telling us to disown our own family members. But sadly, a lot of people on the left are doing that. A lot of people on the left are sitting in their houses right now, angry and bitter and scared and telling people not to come to their house for Thanksgiving. And you have to ask yourself, why does the left do that? What are they getting out of it? Because people that are separated from their families are easier to control. When they're separated from their support structure and the people that love them the most, they're easier to manipulate. Think about that. We're going to save the Schumer files for an episode all its own. That will be the next episode because as I was putting this together, I discovered very early on that there is way too much material for the Schumer files to share a show with any other topic. So that is going to be the sole focus of my next program here. He's so dangerous. God, he's so slimy. Thank goodness he's back as the minority leader, but he still has plenty of power and plenty of pull. You will not believe some of these sound bites. A couple of them I even forgot about. As much as I already detest that man and everything he stands for, it's even worse than I thought. And like I say, that's going to have to be an episode all its own. That will be the next episode. Mark my words, the Schumer files coming up on the next program. There's also a terrible, terrible story out there about a school district in Oregon. Have you heard about this? Where there was a teacher that was under investigation for sexual abuse of students since September, and he had been allowed to teach this entire time. for a defiant school board and superintendent that wished all of it away, wanted nothing to do with it, didn't even want to entertain it. There is some video out there of a school board meeting that you have to see to believe. How smug and I know I keep going back to those words, but I don't know how else to describe this level of arrogance, this level of utter dismissal by these people that think they're so all-powerful while looking at the people that employ them. They're looking at the people that vote for them with a level of disdain that is just piercing. It's so disgusting to me. We will get into this next time, maybe not on the next one, but this is something we are going to get into because it is disgusting. And it is just one more example of how the classism in this country is getting so out of control that even when you're talking about teachers abusing kids sexually, it comes down to a battle of class warfare between the common folk, aka the parents of these children. I will not use that word that starts with E. There is nothing elite about these people. They are despicable, disgusting human beings. They think they're better than us. Every single group of these people, these school boards, these city councils, these representatives, they all think they're better than us. And it is time we flipped that script back to the way it should be once and for all. We employ them. They answer to us, period. We'll get into that in more detail. We'll also talk about this comical mass exodus of angry Democrats leaving X to go to their newly created alternative called Blue Sky. Is this the way? Is this the way forward? You lose the argument and you just take your ball and go home. You pack up and run away. And I'm already seeing blips of people that are getting banned over there from Blue Sky because they're claiming the 2024 election was rigged. Can't make it up. X won't ban you. You can sit on X and talk about the 2024 election being rigged all you want. No one's going to ban you. No one's going to censor you. But they all are so angry because they think X is responsible for Trump's election. So they're going to run over to Blue Sky. They're going to bitch about the election and they're getting banned. Oh, God. So delicious. We need to start talking about the declining birth rates and their far-reaching negative effects on society. It's getting worse, and the negative effects are continuing to float to the surface. And it is really sad, the different factors that are feeding this reality, both medical and social. It's disturbing, and it's yet another trend that needs to be turned around somehow, some way. And so that will be discussed in the future as well. Just a quick closing note here. Thank you so much for sticking with me here. There's so much going on in the world, and I want to talk it out with you guys. This is a fantastic vessel for me to let out all this stuff that I feel needs to be talked about, and I get to talk about it with you. And I can't thank you all enough for being here each and every episode. I hope you find it as therapeutic and helpful as I do. And we are only growing up from here. Just real quick for a closing note, I know I mentioned The West Wing a lot, that TV show from the early 2000s. My wife and I just started watching it again. I mean, we've watched this all the way through at least 7 or 8 times. And honestly, I highly recommend that you watch it. It's on Max right now if you have that streaming service, HBO Max. It is a fantastic show. And I know it's Hollywood. I so wish our politics worked like this. When we talked to each other directly but respectfully, we used civilized discourse. There's just too much finger pointing. There's too much assuming the absolute worst in our opposition. And you'll notice something when you watch it. The administration that you're following, that the show is centered around, it's a Democrat administration. They were early 2000s Democrats. Watch the first season or two. You know what you're going to notice? They sound an awful lot like 2020s Republicans. Give it a watch. Decide for yourself. And when I say that, yeah, I know it's Hollywood, and I wish our politics could work like that, most people say, oh, come on, that's just a fairy tale. It can't possibly work like that. To which I say, why not? Watch that show and tell me why that couldn't happen. I don't accept that. I don't accept that that's just an impossibility and that our politics have to and forever will be the way they are. I don't accept that. Give it a watch for yourself and decide. We're going to go upstairs and watch a couple more episodes tonight. As soon as I log off of this, that's what we're going to be doing. We're back in season one again. I don't care about Bradley Whitford's or Martin Sheen's politics. I give that show 4 full stars, all 8 seasons. It is an unbelievably well done show. So there's my first TV show recommendation. I go back to one from the early 2000s, as you know, most Gen Xers would probably be apt to do. So there it is. There is my Siskel and Ebert take on The West Wing. I highly recommend it, and you would be surprised how much those early 2000s Democrats sound an awful lot like today's Republicans. I hope you watch it. Let me know what you think. But anyway, we're going to wrap here. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me. This has been Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Make sure there's a charity on your Christmas list this year. And I'll talk to you next time.